This just in, it's daily news and commentary podcast week, and we're checking in on the live action Renegade podcasters to see how they're doing with their entry. It's all coming up on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. It's the start of Daily News and Commentary Podcast Week, where I've turned the reins over to Tom Merritt, who has devilishly come up with a challenge that will test our contestants' ability to think on their feet. They'll be creating a news and or commentary podcast that would typically air daily. However, they won't get the news stories that they'll be reporting on until 48 hours before their submission is due. Gabriel, David, and Jen, the live-action Renegade podcasters, are figuring out the format of their video game-based daily news show. We'll listen in on their coaching session with Tom, and later on in the show, listen to their submission for the week. But first, I got to touch base with the Jen. Let's listen. I'm here with Jen of the live-action Renegade podcasters. Hello, Jen.
Hello.
Coming off of a little bit of a difficult review session. Holy cow, that...
Yeah, that was a little tough. I think we kind of expected it a little bit, though. Once we started hearing the comments, we didn't really think about... we were really focused on the chemistry and on just having it feel really fun. And I think it did sound really fun and light. And that's, I think, what we were going for after such an intense week with Investigative Week. Mm-hmm. I think we were kind of expecting a little bit of that, but not quite as harsh as it was. Jury, it came off.
Yeah, Jury didn't have a happy meal yesterday, apparently, and decided to take it out on all you guys. No, I think that's, you know, you bring up a good point. I think the... you guys do have amazing chemistry, the LARP team. I think you guys have great chemistry. And I think that if the topic was something that really pulled the judges in, it might have, the loose flowing feeling of the show might have not have been an issue. Because I really like that casual style. I like that round table discussion. I think Scott did as well. And I think that that's something that I'd prefer listening to over a more prepared, here is what we chose for number five. Here is what we chose for number four. You know, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, the chemistry is important to that, but then, you know, the content is where that's going to go. And, you know, again, judges said, well, concept was the issue. I disagree, but that's why they're judges and I'm not. I'm just the lowly Ryan Seacrest wannabe host. So.
No, yeah. And the good news is that, you know, obviously the original LARP team is still intact, which is a bit strange.
It is crazy.
Wow. 3 weeks, I think, what, 3 or 4 weeks now?
Yeah.
That we've been together. So I think... It's hard with four people. Honestly, it's really tough because you're trying to find something that appeals to everybody and everybody kind of has different experience and whatnot. That's kind of why going to this challenge, as much as video games might be the harder option for a couple of reasons, mm-hmm. I think it was the better option for our team to take on just because we all have video game knowledge and we all play video games. So it puts us in a better position.
Yeah, and you know, just to reiterate what Jury said last week, if you don't have buy-in, it shows in the podcast. And again, when you've got a team of four, now three people, having everybody's voice represented for a team competition like this, you better have buy-in from all three members, because if one of them is a weak link, not only is it going to show for them, but it's going to show for your whole team, and that's going to cause problems. So I think that's the right way to go. How are you guys feeling about a daily show?
I love, personally, I love daily shows. I've always had an interest in making one, but I've never really had the time or the partners in crime to do it, I guess. Sure. But yeah. I've actually kind of played with this idea as a format before, kind of something similar to what I think Jury does. I mean, Jury does this every day, and it's a similar timeline. But I had thought about doing like a quick 15-minute thing every day. And so I'm excited about that aspect of it. It is a bit of a challenge though, considering that, Scott makes a daily show. This is, and Jury right. makes a daily right. show. So it is definitely like what I think is fun could come off as cheesy, but we're trying to just have a good time with it and just do what we do best. And that's, you know, put our personalities out there, and we all can handle news very well, I think. And so I feel good about it. I don't want to be too overconfident, but I do feel like we at least have a good handle. It's a type of podcast I would make, I guess.
yeah. No, and I think that there's definitely something to that. You bring up Scott doing a daily show and Jury as well. The good news is Tom does one, and yes. He's going to be able to give you some coaching. So, two weeks in a row, we've like played right into Tom's hands. I think he's wanting to do like a corporate takeover of this whole thing.
he's like, I don't want to be the coach anymore. I want to be the exactly. host and have even less power.
Right, exactly. I want to move up even higher in the chain of no responsibility. But no, that's cool. So how are you guys thinking format-wise? I know we'll talk more about this when you talk to Tom, but are you going to continue to kind of play that loose sort of roundtable discussion about the news? Are you going to go more factual kind of thing? What direction do you think?
So I kind of want, I'm kind of using this opportunity maybe as a little bit of a redemption opportunity. I mean, I did well with it, but in the first week where I was the host of the pretend morning show the first week, our team lost, but Scott did compliment my ability to host. So I have decided that I would like to be the head host on this one. And kind of lead the charge in that way. And then I think our plan is we want to have some segments. We want this to feel like it's a unique show that has different things that happen every day. And we're making the Friday show. So that's what our concept is. And I like the idea of having them on as contributors to bring stories, and it's conversational and there is conversation. I think it would be probably a little bit more towards a DTNS style of, you know, there is going to be conversation. And then I think the big thing is going to be taking the news stories that we get and figuring out, okay, which one is the big conversation piece, which ones are going to be a little bit more, here's what happened.
Right. Right. Yeah. And of course the timeline on that gets much more truncated when you're dealing with, getting the information you need on Friday and then having to turn it around or by Sunday. And Jury, again, Jury, why are you giving him so much time? Why are you giving him 48 hours? Seems very typical for Jury.
Right? Yes.
He complains that I'm too mean sometimes. Then he complains that I'm giving you guys too easy. But no, I think it's a good balance for a team that is not used to doing a daily show together to kind of give you time to find your balance with that. Obviously, if you guys have been doing this for a while and working together for a while, then you guys could jump into a daily show that would only have a couple hours of prep time with the news articles. But you know, we gotta play rough with you guys a little bit.
And
give you a little bit of a break.
And it's hard too sometimes. The one thing that I think is the biggest challenge is how do you kind of borrow from, improve on things that other daily shows are doing without straight, you know, stealing their bit or making it, I guess, thinking that you're doing it better, but you're not.
Right. Yeah. How do you find that unusual gimmick that nobody else is doing, or at least something that you can amplify, some sort of gimmick? That's the trick. And, I look forward to seeing what you guys come up with for that trip.
Yeah, I'm very excited. This week, it's another week of, I think, just giving us a chance to have some fun. And that was what was nice about last week. And now we're going to have some fun and hopefully with a much better result.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Jen. Good luck.
Thanks.
Tom Merritt had some good advice for our team. Let's listen.
So, hey, y'all, what do you think of this genius challenge?
Oh, it's great.
Like, took a lot of brains to come up with that challenge. Looking at my show's name, making challenge. Right. So, what do you think? This is a little bit of an elaborate challenge for rule wise, but it's also a fairly simple concept, I guess. How are you feeling about it?
I think it's deceptively simple. I don't know about my teammates, but I think we kind of get that same idea where it seems like, okay, well, it's a daily show, so it's got to be, you know, easy enough that it's a repeatable format. But the trick of it is, like, how do you make it interesting enough that people will keep coming back every day?
Right. Exactly. By the way, Patrick Beja is sitting in with me to help coach. So if you hear him pop in with smart insights, that's why.
Or not smart insights.
Ah, you're smart.
Or insults, but those will be to me.
Ooh, I like that.
So what are you thinking? Do you think you want to approach this?
One of the first questions I want to ask right out the gate is, since we're already broken down into having video games as our topic that we, air quote, chose, what was left with, is too much gimmick bad? Like, start loading up, you know, 8-bit type music and having sound effects for that really make it go with the video game theme?
I think so. I mean, there's always a line, right? You don't want to make it into a morning zoo, but judicious use of that is like transitional elements between stories. I think that's great, and intro music and stuff. And if you've got sound ups that actually go with your stories, right? Then I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I think we're trying to use this sound a lot of as signposting, but I think from a lot of the daily shows that I've listened to, bed music is pretty common.
Yeah.
It's just how to pick something that doesn't get distracting at the same time.
Yeah, I'm usually personally a little bit wary of using too much sound effect, just because it can be distracting, but also for the sustainability of things. If you want to be super on point with your sound effects, then you need to research new sound effects all the time for different stories. That can become a little bit... When I think about how I produce my shows, I try to minimize the production workloads, because that becomes the most tedious part of it. And if you're thinking about doing a daily show especially, that can be a concern. So I'd be worried about that.
I would be tempted to use music beds for segments that are not necessarily the news, right? So in Daily Tech News Show, we used to do a calendar segment. Like, here are the earnings that are coming and the conferences that are happening. And music bed is a great differentiator for that. Like, we're not just talking about a news story. Now we're adding a little element. And that's stuff that you might want to think about throwing in there, like upcoming game releases or something is something you can add to this that isn't the stories that you're being fed to.
We're planning on doing a segment. The framework that we're playing with right now is basically like starting with kind of like a catch up, like a, you know, hey, it's Friday, welcome to it. And then transitioning into kind of just a talking section in the beginning, and then the news segments, and then also doing, David came up with an idea of like a Friday face palms, kind of like a Friday segment, is that we kind of talk about a story that makes us scratch our head, and that's kind of like a fun segment idea.
Yeah, I like the idea of making it into segments. You want to make it clear where you're going, you know, so that at the beginning you might want to tease ahead, like, coming up today we'll have this, that, and the Friday facepalm, etc. I think that's important in a daily show, that people understand what they're getting into because they're listening to this every day.
Yeah, I will say for gaming audiences, I feel like being a little bit less structured is not necessarily a bad thing than for tech or politics or that kind of thing. So I don't want to recommend anything specific, but keep in mind that gamers might be coming to it a little bit more for the fun than for the structure, even though for daily show you're going to have to provide some information value as well.
Yeah, I agree. Don't let the structure get in the way of the fun. You'll need the structure because it's daily, right? Or you'll go mad. But you don't want to overstructure it.
Yeah. So I guess that how do we then balance discussion? You know, if we hit like a story that we want to talk about and we're going to talk about it, with also getting through the news stories.
Well, the news stories you receive, one of them could and probably should be your discussion, right? You'll want to take one of those and expand, figure out which one expands into more talking points. And then you don't want to just take the three stories that you're given and, you know, blow them at the top of the show.
Right.
That's my instinct anyway.
How do you think about something like this, having three voices versus two voices? Is three voices too many for a daily show when it's something very quick and it's set to be, you know, a 15-minute show?
I will say that each voice you add kind of doubles the time it takes to talk about something, so pay attention to that.
Yes, we know this from experience. If you've got three voices on a 15-minute show, it's really a 5-minute show, right? Essentially is what that means, right? Plan 5 minutes of content and it'll turn into 15 with three people. I don't think three people is absolutely too many. 15 minutes is your problem, right? That's what you need to work into. So maybe one of you have like two hosts bouncing off of each other at the top, and then you bring in a third for the discussion. That could be a way to get around that.
Yeah, part of it was also thinking of having each segment, depending on the segments we get, also be given to each voice more or less, depending on their specialization, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least as the lead, if you're going to have a discussion, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Could we do like sort of the top of the show, but do like maybe two of the news stories much quicker, just like, hey, here's what's going on. And then we break into the sort of what you guys do on the Daily Tech News Show, I guess, but just in a much more compressed format than just taking one of those stories. And, you know, by the 6-minute mark, hey, this is where we're going to drill down and talk about this for 5 minutes.
I mean, if you talk about it for 5 minutes, that leaves probably 3 to 4 minutes for the other stories each, plus your intro and out and your ending. I think what you're circling around is the right idea, which is inverted triangle. You want to start with the smaller bits and work into the meat, and then you might put an upside down triangle at the end by adding a little something at the tail.
Like the fun thing of cherry.
Yeah, your Facepalm Friday idea. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Patrick's staring at me.
I'm just continuously aware of the need for timing things.
Yep.
On a show where you have a limited amount of time. It will take, if you include any sort of discussion, it's surprising how much time it takes. Like each host will be able, especially if there's three of you, you'll be able to say like, 2 sentences, and then your 5 minutes will be up. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but for yeah,
sure. But not really. We've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, we go through a 30-minute show with DTNS. We go through, we have 5 top stories, and each one of them gets 2 to 4 minutes. And that takes us through 20 minutes, usually, yeah. Right? And so we're then our main topic, we're giving anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, right? Usually somewhere around 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And that's in a 30-minute show because we also have the quick hits at the top and we have a hello and then we have a thing of the day, maybe read an email. So make that is really the key that I have found with a daily show like this is you really do need to time it out and allocate more time than you think for things. Underplay that. Especially if you're having a discussion. It's one thing if you're just doing a read. That's easy to estimate. But if you're going to have a discussion, you want to give more than you think you need.
I think it might be useful in that context as well to have a way to signal to one another that you have to wrap up or you want to say one last thing before you move on. If you have video, even if you don't use that for the podcast, of course, it's easy because you can gesture around it.
Because Patrick will always have one last thing he wants to say, but then I'll always have one last thing I want to say. And then Patrick will have a thing he wants to say to that. And then I'll have a response to that. Like, yeah, that's how it goes, right? You get caught up in that.
So you have to have a way to signal, hey, all right, now we're done. You have the last thing and then it's over. or it's going to be over in 30 seconds or whatever. Maybe text is enough for that. Chat.
Wrap it up.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
Yeah, the nice thing is you're not live, right? So you can kind of back out of that and be like,
post editing and post.
All right, good luck, you guys. I know it's going to be great.
Thanks.
And thanks, bonus Patrick.
Good luck.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
Think about probably something a little bit about intro. Do we want to do like a quick hit of like kind of vague? I kind of like the idea of doing a little bit of a teaser at the start.
I totally want to write up a teaser, and that's the problem. I can't do that until we have the headlines, but I absolutely want to write up a teaser, and I definitely want there to be a couple minutes of us just being human at the beginning. Like that's I think really important, especially even if it's just a 15-minute show daily.
Why are our listeners coming to us to find out about these stories
rather than just going to Google and going video game?
Right.
Yeah.
My dearest love, it has been a fortnight. It has been a fortnight dear since Marta. We last talked. Your podcast makes me quiver.
Oh, okay.
Thy loins are set ablaze. Anyway, so let's.
No, I.
Greetings and welcome to Spawn Point, the daily show that brings you the video game news that you need to stay on top of the meta. On today's episode, The Witcher on Netflix gets a trailer and a release date, the PlayStation 4 becomes the second best-selling console ever, and Australian players of Fallout 76 may be entitled to a refund. And since it is Friday, we're going to bring you that Friday facepalm. This is Spawn Point for Friday, November 1st, and I'm your host, The Gen, and with me, as always, is David Luzader.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
David, so what video gaming have you been up to today? Or I guess maybe later yesterday.
Well, yesterday was Halloween, and my girlfriend and I decided to play Layers of Fear, which is a psychological horror game where you are wandering around a house, and it's not a game. You're not, you know, collecting things. You're not fighting off monsters, but it's terrifying, and I don't know why we decided to play it. But what about you?
Basically, you didn't want to sleep. That was the plan.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, in honor of the BlizzCon announcements that are going to be coming here probably within the next few hours, I have been playing a bit of StarCraft 2, playing through the campaigns. I had actually never played them. I knew most of the stories just from being in the Blizzard universe so much as I am, but I have really been diving into it. I find myself losing time doing these campaigns. It's been actually a pretty good time.
That sounds great. You got to love those games where just the hours disappear. That's been me with, you know, Civilization, just like every other person who's ever played Civilization.
One more turn. And with that, let's get into the news.
News.
Netflix has released the final trailer for their upcoming fantasy series, The Witcher, and announced that all 8 episodes will be coming to the streaming service December 20th. The series stars Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia, Anya Chalatra as Yennefer, and Freya Allen as Princess Ciri. Jen, are you looking forward to this show?
So I am, and I have a few friends that are huge fans of the game. And I know they're already, everybody that I've spoken to has had positive feelings about Henry Cavill. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a positive thing. I do think it's important to note, though, that a lot of my friends that are very excited about this talk a little bit of smack about the game because it's not really canon, I guess. Maybe you know a little bit more about this than I do.
Yeah, so the games are actually based on a book series. Well, they're a sequel to a book series from Andrzej Sapkowski, of which the games, as you said, are not canon. But Henry Cavill, you mentioned him earlier. I just want to make sure I throw this out there. Henry Cavill has been a big fan of the book series and the games and actually campaigned for this part for a really long time, which I think is really cool. But I do think for gamers, that are coming from Witcher 3 to the series. You got to like adjust expectations a little bit. You know, you have to be prepared for some things like Geralt is not going to have a beard. There's not going to be a whole lot of monsters. Roach isn't going to be spawning on top of rooftops. There's not going to be as much Gwent. So it's going to be a bit of a different thing than the game, but we do get bathtub Geralt apparently. So we have that going for us.
Yeah, I have seen quite a bit about that already. There, the memes are a-flowing on this one. Well, I will have to say Umbrella Academy was a favorite of mine, so I'm pretty excited to see what Lauren Schmidt Hishrich does with The Witcher. And for that, I guess we'll just have to wait till December 20th.
News.
Next up, Sony announced that the PlayStation 4 has sold 102.8 million units as of September 30th, making it the second best-selling home console of all time. It is behind the PlayStation 2, which has sold more than 155 million units, and just above the original PlayStation, which sold 102.5 million units.
Yeah. So news to me that PlayStation has the top three spots on best-selling consoles ever.
They have four of the five top spots.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Even more impressive. You know, one of the things that always gets me about the PlayStation is that it's just so trusted. And I guess maybe this will mean more apps for streaming. You know, I feel like personally, Xbox has always won for that type of functionality for me. And then also with the Game Pass experience, that is what drove me more in the Xbox direction. Mm. And I'll be interested to see if PlayStation continues to, they've slowly been doing it, adding more apps for streaming and loosening those reins a little bit. So I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, with the cancellation of PlayStation View, I know a lot of people are upset about that. It'll be curious to see if somehow Microsoft comes up with something to meet that. But I think an important thing to note too is that Xbox is a big presence here. You know, we talk about it a lot. But I think overseas in Asia primarily, Sony kind of dominates. They are a huge presence. The Xbox is kind of not a thing. The biggest surprise for me is that I would have thought that the Wii was the best-selling console of all time. That just the fact that there are three Sony consoles in front of it is impressive in my mind.
Yeah, and I also am interested to see, with even though The Last of Us 2 was pushed, with it being an exclusive, I know that that's going to drive more PS4 sales. I mean, I know that anytime a game like that comes out, there's always a push, right? So I'm interested to see how far that gets them, you know, and I guess that would probably be Q2 next year based on the release date for Last of Us 2. So, well, I guess we'll have to see where that goes. Well, feel free to chime in on Twitter at Spawnpoint Show and tell us, are you one of the over 100 million PS4 owners? Do you think it'll ever top the PS2?
News.
Good news, Fallout 76 players. You might finally be entitled to a refund if you're in Australia and if you purchase the game before June 1st, 2019. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission released a statement that the problems with servers, lagging, graphic and visual problems within Fallout 76 were significant enough to warrant a refund for users.
Yeah, and also notable is as long as you never plan to play the game again.
I think at this point, if because the game came out last year, came out November of 2018, I believe, and if you were still playing it or purchased it before June, and you're going to look for a refund now, I think it's safe to say you're never going to play that game again.
I just think it's interesting that that's like the definitive thing is that, but you will never have access to this game again.
I really have to ask, what is Bethesda doing? And I know that Fallout 76 is a big topic. I'm not going to go into all of it, but they have had controversy after controversy. They have had issue after issue. There's a great video. The Internet Historian put together a really great rundown of Fallout 76. People should go watch that if they want to figure out what all this controversy is about. And there's even been stuff since that video has been released. It's just that there's wrong stuff at every single turn. What is Bethesda doing? And I know, Jen, you're probably not going to be able to answer that question for me, but it's just I'm yelling it out to the void.
Yeah, you know, it's really frustrating because Bethesda is a company that I used to have so much respect for. You know, back in the day, me, old lady Jen, but back in the day, I used to really respect Bethesda. I had friends that worked at Bethesda, you know, probably around 10, 15 years ago. And just what they've been doing with this has just been crazy. Like the number of issues, and it went online, and honestly, it was unplayable for some people, literally unplayable.
It bricked a couple of people's systems.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Now, I do think it's interesting that the way the Australian Commission is handling this, just with their laws being a little bit different. Here in America, the laws typically would have something like this settled through the actual Xbox and PlayStation stores, because that's where the purchases take place typically. And so it's just a little bit different. For example, anytime you buy a game with the Xbox and PlayStation stores, if you have less than 2 hours of game time and it's less than 2 weeks after purchase and you have major issues with a game, you can actually typically get a refund. So that kind of settled issues that probably would have been settled with Fallout 76 if Bethesda chose to handle it that way.
Yeah, but on PlayStation and Xbox, there's different ways of handling it. But through their own system on PC, they shut down refunds for a while. Like they got to a point where they were not letting that happen. And I don't know here in America if it's still possible, because I don't play the game. I don't plan on playing the game. But the fact that you've had to have a government body in a foreign country step in to tell you to give people a refund signals to me that Bethesda doesn't know what they're doing or how to handle this. I look at Final Fantasy 14 from Square Enix. When that game first came out, it had issues. The player base was very negative. Reviews were very negative. They listened to that feedback and said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to build a new game from the ground up. We're going to scrap what we've done. But in the meantime, hey, here it is, free to play. Just, you know, have fun in the existing world. And then we're going to relaunch a new game, which has been a success for them. I don't understand why Bethesda can't own up to their continuous problems.
I think every major game developer that I can think of has had a time where they've had to say, you know what? This just isn't working. I mean, granted, Blizzard is one of the examples of the few companies that waits pretty long to put a game out, but they scrapped the Titan project. They're like, this isn't good. Mm-hmm. Gone. Years and years of work. And I think that you're right. There has to be a certain amount of trust that these developers aren't going to put out something that is unplayable or is going to literally ruin my machine. I think it is hard to trust them again going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the way that they're handling this is really going to affect how people receive any of their games going forward. I mean, they're asking for a monthly subscription game is such a joke.
That, releasing a monthly subscription plan that is broken. Okay, I'm not going to go on. But I am worried looking at this game and more recently also No Man's Sky, that we are getting to this point where people are just going to release games. You know, day one patches are so common. We are so enslaved to release dates. Like, let's just release the game and then patch it until it works. And that can't be okay. We can't let that happen.
Sea of Thieves is probably my best example. I didn't touch the game because I heard so many bad stories about how there are only two missions and there was nothing to do. And it wasn't until literally someone bought me the game and was like, play with me. And I'm like, well, I guess I have to because you literally paid for it. And what surprised me is that they had added so much and it was so good. And I had a great time. I spent months becoming a pirate legend. And all I kept thinking was, man, if only they had just waited and released the game like this, I would have told everybody and their mother to buy this game and we would have all been pirating together. Yeah. So I guess the takeaway here is, please, developers, please make sure games are done and then release them.
Yeah, and I understand for, you know, some smaller studios, you can't afford to do that as much. It's, we got to get it out because otherwise we're going to die. And I understand that's an issue, but Bethesda is still making so much money off of Skyrim, they could have waited.
Agreed. Well, those are your Friday headlines. But before I get started on my binge of BlizzCon VODs, we do want to leave you with a special treat going into the weekend. So it is time for the Friday Facepalm. Each Friday, we find one news story from the world of gaming that made us shake our heads and ask ourselves why. And then we share it with you, our dear listeners. To share this week's facepalm is our producer, Gabe.
I can't believe you've done this.
Counter-Strike Global Offensive cleans up their laundering problem. I mean, it's not like this is the first time Counter-Strike GO got into a little bit of trouble with their microtransactions, but this week's facepalm goes to the worldwide fraudulent networks that have shifted to using CSGO's container keys, which is their version of loot boxes, to liquidate their gains. Thankfully, Valve learned about the transactions and directly acknowledged that the keys were being used for money laundering, but with the keys being untradeable, Valve stated that while some, but not many, legitimate users will be affected, combating fraud is something that we continue to prioritize across Steam and our products. Good job, guys.
Oh, boy. Well, if you have a Friday facepalm you'd like to submit or you want to contribute to our news, feel free to join us on the Discord. And for me and for David and our producer, Gabe, thanks for joining us on Spawn Point. Make sure to tune in again on Monday for more stories to keep you ahead of the game.
That was Spawn Point, the daily video game news podcast from the Live Action Renegade Podcasters. On the next episode, we'll check in with Stick Figure Squad and then wrap up the week with the judging and elimination episode where we'll crown a winner for the week and send someone home. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.